Христос Анести!
Христос Анести!
Christ is risen!
Truly is risen!
Христос Воскресе!
Христос Воскресе!
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now are all things bright, now are all things radiant, heaven and earth, join chorus with the angels. It is a day of resurrection, let us be radiant, O ye peoples. Do we hear in the majestic service, in the majestic Paschal service? And this entire week now we celebrate as if one day, the day of resurrection. We know of the 7 days. And on the seventh day, our Lord rested. The first day of the week, our Lord arose from the dead. On Sunday, on this upcoming Sunday, we hear concerning Thomas and concerning the eighth day, because after seven comes eight. Actually, we are entering into the eighth day, which the Holy Fathers call also the eighth age, which they call the life to come, the age to come. The eighth day is the next age. In a mystical manner, then, we slowly and only in part can grasp at least a little, scratching the surface, the great joy which is to come. But our Lord has already given to us, by means of his resurrection, re-entrance into paradise, into our real homeland. And we call it our real homeland because just a few days ago we heard the Jews who were talking about a king of their homeland, of their earthly homeland. They were ethnophilitous. They lost grasp of the fact that in the heavenly kingdom there is no America or Greece or Russia or Serbia, but it is the heavenly kingdom. There is no superior race, there is no inferior race, there is neither male nor female, there is neither Jew nor Greek, but we are all one in Christ Jesus, as the Holy Apostle Paul tells us. Neither are they given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. And we have no clue. We have a hard time understanding and grasping the depth of all these mysteries. And so the Holy Fathers then give us opportunities to grow, opportunities to discover Christ. In fact, every Orthodox Christian is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't know it. He doesn't really understand it. He doesn't really grasp it. So the Ecclesiastic Fathers tell us how we are to enter into our hearts. Something which perhaps seems quite strange for those who for those who have not made a beginning in this pathway. But even for those of us monastics, for some people, it's difficult to grasp. And it's difficult to make the connection between the picking up of the cross and the pathway wherein we follow Christ. For though I should walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Everything then depends on us. We are given free will, as Adam and Eve were given freedom to make their choices. So also, we are given freedom to make our choices. Sometimes we make bad choices. And if we count on ourselves alone, we're going to make some seriously bad decisions, bad choices. Because, not because we are evil, but because without God, what can be good? Without God, the devil tries to get the upper hand and he tries to enter in. And we have to face the reality of the fact that we're in a battle. We're in the battleground. Entering then into the, or at least making a beginning in the pathway into the heart, There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And God puts in front of us opportunities for our faith to be tested, for our patience to be tested, for our love for God to be tested. And there will be trips, and there will be falls, and there will be times, hopefully, when a person can redeem himself, because he then begins to understand that when he is calling out to God, he's receiving help. When he's not calling out to God, he sees that he doesn't have the help. Abba Dorotheos also tells us that if we continue in sinful ways for a long time, it's not going to take just one simple prayer, God, please help me, because it's deep. It's too deep. So it takes some time. And the fathers tell us oftentimes it takes a lifetime of fighting against the evil one. In the midst of the battle, however, if we are going to be confessing and if we are going to be repenting, there are going to be a lot of lessons which will be learned. The Lord is the sacred Passover, and the Pascha is called the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why is he called the Lamb? Why on Holy Saturday did we chant that beautiful and majestical cherubim, let all mortal flesh be silent, for the Lamb of God, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords doth enter to be slaughtered and given as food for the faithful. This is the message now. This is the whole point. Where shall I eat my supper? With desire I have desired, with great desire I have desired to eat the supper with you. In other words, our Lord wishes to give us of himself. If we turn away, then who's at fault? Certainly not the Lord. So everything is about the mystical supper, the Lamb of God. We partake of this Lamb. And Christ doth offer himself and is the sacrificial lamb. He's called the sacrificial lamb in the canon of the Holy Pascha service. Today we hear something in the Gospel reading concerning the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And there are some deep meanings that we should be attentive to. It's the resurrection. And Peter finds the linen clothes. And then, on the same day, two of his disciples, Luke and Cleopas, are walking on the way. And they're walking to this town called Emmaus. And as they were walking, they were talking about everything that happened, the events of the Passion of our Lord. And then someone shows up and says, why are you sad of countenance? Why do you look down? What's going on? And Luke and Cleopas answer, are you a stranger in these parts? You must be a stranger. Don't you know about the latest events that just happened concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in deed and word? You see, it's interesting that they're calling him a prophet because they still don't have the fullness of understanding. They just went through this really difficult time. And their faith was tested, seriously tested, because they thought that Jesus was going to redeem the people of God. And so they all abandoned him, except for St. John the theologian and the few bearing women. They abandoned him. And not only did they abandon him, but Peter rejected. Peter denied him. Peter could have been Judas, and Judas could have been Peter. Judas denied him and fell into despair, destroyed himself. But Peter was redeemed. Same thing happens to us. Peter's heart was in the right place. And Judas had accumulated a lot of evil. He was living half hypocritically or with great hypocrisy. Things don't happen just by chance and by coincidence. When a person falls away from God, there's something a lot deeper. But our Lord still permitted that Judas perform miracles. Peter, however, was healed with a great healing because of his great repentance. Because of his great repentance, he was restored, and not only was he restored, but he was exalted. He was the chief of the apostles. So, our Savior has a conversation with them, but they don't know that it's the Savior, because he appears in another form. He is a stranger to them. On Holy Friday night, you remember that beautiful hymn, "Give Me This Stranger." Our Lord is referred to as a stranger. The stranger who is the one who is the cause of all things, of all good things, is being called the stranger. And he's here taking the a position of a stranger, acting like a stranger. So our Lord just sits and listens to them, and they're making explanations. And then finally, the point comes where our Savior says, "O mindless ones, O slow of heart." The word in Greek is vradis, vradisti kardia, which means the modern word for late is, or night, is vradi, dark. O slow of heart. And they didn't understand, they didn't make the connection with the prophets. And so he started to explain to them concerning himself from all the prophets. And they were going on and on and on. He was going on and on, explaining everything to them. And then the day was far spent, the night was at hand, and they were going to... they came to their stop, and our Lord made as if he was going to continue walking, but they said, "Please stay with us, it's too late now." They were being hospitable. And unawares, they accepted the Lord into their house. They were of the right spirit. They were sincere. And we know very well that there were many others who were not sincere and many who rejected Christ, to the point where even after seeing such miracles as the raising of Lazarus, not only did they reject him, but they crucified him. They went to this point of crucifying him, of buffeting him, of mocking him. This is all spiritual law. The same thing happens with any person to whom the Lord approaches. If the person accepts him, they receive illumination. If the person rejects him, they get darker and darker and darker and darker. That's why St. Simeon, the God Receiver, says, "This child is for the rising and the falling of many." As they were sitting, our Lord broke bread and gave to them, and they partook. And it says in the scriptures, that their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And one of the first things that they said was, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us on the way? Did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us on the way?" Because now they made the connection after eating of the bread. We see here, we have a lesson concerning Holy Communion. For our Lord says, "I am the bread of life." He broke bread, they partook of the bread, their eyes were opened, and then they made the connection of everything beforehand. All the things that they heard, the whole walk. You've heard me say that there's a Holy Trinity, besides the real Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. A Trinity, which is a way, a manner, wherein we can connect and communicate with God. Prayer, the Gospels, and Holy Communion. Ultimately, Holy Communion. Prayer and the Gospels are preparation for Holy Communion. But if we pray, if we participate in the Holy Eucharist, we can make a lot of connections. If we participate in the Holy Eucharist, we can also make a lot of connections in the Gospel, with the Gospel passages. That's why there are many who do not understand that without the participation in the Holy Eucharist, you can't really understand the power hidden in the Gospel. A few days ago, we had the unction service. We opened up the Gospel upside down. And we made reference to our Lord's hand, which is in this Holy Gospel, which comes out of the Gospel. for therein we find the words of life. And on the holy table, we have the holy chalice and holy paten. But when the holy chalice and holy paten is not there, we have the gospel. The gospel is most important, and so important for us. St. Seraphim of Sarov used to read one entire gospel, one evangelist every day. And we, here at the monastery, at least try to do that during the first week of Great Lent. And we will see, and we will experience life coming out of the words if you connect it with our prayer and the reception of the Holy Eucharist. We are Orthodox Christians. We have been given the fullness of the truth. We have an amazing ability, an amazing capacity, amazing thing. We have been given the greatest gift, the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ. And we participate in him in the Holy Eucharist. We must understand that we need to participate in the reception of the Holy Eucharist frequently, but with great caution. We cannot participate in the Holy Eucharist without preparation, because this is exactly what happened even here. Did not our Lord speak to them all day long concerning himself? And then they partook of the bread. In like manner, we don't eat. On the day before we take Holy Communion, we fast so that we can prepare ourselves. How can we not fast to prepare for the King of Glory? So there has to be some type of a preparation. A person should never come in a casual manner to participate in the Holy Eucharist. The greatest way that we can receive the greatest benefit from our reception to the Holy Eucharist is repentance. And I'm afraid that many of us still don't even understand what repentance is. How are we going to repent if we're always exalting ourselves? How are we going to repent if we're judging others? How are we going to repent if we're condemning others and not condemning ourselves? We have to begin with confession, sincere confession. A confession is not the time when a person comes to talk about his brother or to justify himself. Confession is a time where a person comes to condemn himself. We will see such fruit if we are sincere. And then when we act in such a manner, we will discover a lot more to condemn ourselves over, because we will be given light. When light comes into the room, we start to see. We start to see the blemishes. We start to see that there's more work that needs to be done. It's not that simple. I am come a light into the world. The first step in the spiritual life then is repentance. The second step is illumination, enlightenment. And the third step is theosis. Theosis, by our participation in the Holy Eucharist, we become gods by grace. A lot of things can happen to us. Many doors can be opened to us. A whole other kingdom is open to us if we really make these connections that we're talking about with the Holy Gospel, with prayer, sincere, heartfelt prayer, and by our participation in the Holy Eucharist. We cannot celebrate, as we heard during the Holy Week services, let us not celebrate the manner of the Jews, the way that the Jews celebrate their Passover, but we shall celebrate the way our Lord teaches us. We don't hear anymore an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but we hear, turn thy cheek. It's very strange. It's a very strange doctrine for worldly-minded people. Sometimes we just hear these things over and over. We're not making any connections. And it's as if it's just some other language. It's something that we can't connect to. When are we going to start to connect with that? When are we going to start to connect with turn the other cheek? As you said, it's a strange thing. It's a very strange doctrine for those in the world. Once again, we refer to the mind of Christ and our endeavor to obtain the mind of Christ. For without Christ, we will not really understand what he's talking about. Remember that in the Gospel, when our Savior tells the people, Whosoever does not eat of my bread and drink of my cup will not have life. Many stopped walking with him at that time. It's too deep of a saying. They just couldn't handle it. If we really want to be faithful disciples of Christ, we have to know what we're asking for. Abba Dorothea says, when you ask for humility, know that God's going to send someone to humble you. And how are you going to accept it? So now, let us remind ourselves that, especially during this blessed period of Pascha, where there's an outpouring of grace, let us make heartfelt entreaty to our Lord to help us develop the mind of Christ, to help us to understand how are we going to turn away from the old man and how are we going to put on the new man, since this is just a little too difficult for us to understand. Let us pray. Let us hear carefully the message of the Holy Gospel, and let us prepare ourselves in the reception of the Holy Eucharist, understanding that this is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. We didn't have to travel halfway across the world to receive this great gift of the Holy Eucharist. We didn't have to travel anywhere, in our own home, in our own parishes, in our own monasteries. Our Lord freely gives to us of himself, and so he wishes. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you, says our Lord. With desire, I have desired to eat this Pascha with you. So let us pass over from death unto life, from our sinful ways unto the blessed ways, and let us pray that God will give us longing for him, a desire to love him, so that we will know and understand what the outcome of all things will be. Let us pray that God gives us the ability to understand sin for what it is, a deception. And let us beseech our Lord to deliver us from our own deception, from our own delusions, so that we will receive illumination, the illumination which comes directly from the Holy Spirit, which passes to us by the angels and by our own guardian angel. We can pray that our Lord will send us a guardian angel to help us in all these struggles. And let us remember what I mentioned on Pascha Day, the liturgy of Holy Basil, Saint Basil the Great. Just before the consecration of the holy gifts, he makes reference to the words of Saint Paul, St. Paul's epistles. As often as you drink of this cup and eat of this bread, you do proclaim my death and my resurrection. You do proclaim the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In proclaiming the death and the resurrection, we have to die. We have to die to sin. And we will be raised up together with our Lord. And since we're not dying to sin, of Theodosius, by our own volition, God will help us if we ask him to give us volition. So we will say then, glory to thy cross, O Christ, glory to thy resurrection, O Christ, and glory to thy economia, to thy dispensation of Christ, O Christ, to whom is due all glory, honor, and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.